lot of time rehashing the stuff that's in the chapters. So in that sense, having a copy of the book to be able to read through the chapter before we come is probably going to be beneficial, just so that we're all starting out more on the same page with everything. But as you go through that, if there's something that you read, a question you have, or thoughts that you want to share and we don't specifically bring it up, feel free to just bring it up and we'll talk about it. So the whole idea behind this was we wanted a different approach. We wanted a more casual approach to some of the boost sessions that we've done in the past. This is all about just an opportunity to come and meet with God and grow together, and we thought that the leadership team decided that it's a great opportunity to just engage in conversation and, you know, not have it feel like, you know, a lecture or a presentation necessarily. So we're going to be doing some different things over the course of this session. We want it to be experiential. So each night when we talk about the pathways, we're going to be doing some things that help us to really get a feel for what those might be like, rather than just talking about them from a, you know, like an academic standpoint or something like that. So hopefully you really enjoy it. And if you don't, that's okay too. the thing about this, honestly, and I know a lot of you were with us on Saturday for the journey, but I know a number of you weren't either, and that's perfectly fine. The two were designed to work well together, but they were also, you know, designed to have impact independently, recognizing not everyone would be able to do both. So the whole idea behind this is that we all have different ways that we connect with God. That's really about as simple as I think I can put it, and you've probably heard that already, which is why you're here. So, you know, I made this comment on Saturday. There might be some things that we talk about as we look at certain pathways that you're just not connecting with, and you're like, I'm not getting it, I'm not feeling it, I don't know that this is for me. And that's perfectly normal, because not all of it is going to be for you. But hopefully on those nights there's still something you can take away that helps you better understand how someone else might connect. And then we'll get to a night where you'll be like, yeah, I definitely see myself in that place. And I think that's where my pathway lies. So we'll talk about that a little bit more as we get into this. But I'm grateful for everyone who's here. I think this is just an awesome sign that God's Spirit is moving and continuing to draw us to Him, and we're all here because we want to become more intimate with Him, and that's what our goal is. So let me open us with prayer, and then we'll get started with some of our conversation. God, we thank you that you are a God of intimacy, that you are a God of relationship, that you are a God who is diverse in the ways that you create us and in the ways that we can connect and relate with you. Every single person in this room is different, and I thank you for that. I thank you for who each one of them are, and I thank you that you have stirred something in their heart to bring them here tonight. And I pray that we would just have open minds and open ears and open conversation, that your presence may fill this room and fill our dialogue, and that we can become more aware of who you are and who we are, and enjoy drawing deeper and closer to you in this time. Amen. All right. So, just out of curiosity, how many of you have had a chance to start reading the book? And we're not gonna shame you if you haven't. It's okay. I'm not gonna spend a lot of time on the introduction. The first two chapters really set up the concept behind the whole book. I feel like it's pretty straightforward. If you've read it and feel otherwise, now's your time to speak up, because it's. If that part isn't clear, it's going to be a barrier to us moving forward. But I think, does everyone feel pretty comfortable with where we are with everything so far? Again, I know those of you who haven't read the book are probably feeling at a disadvantage here, and I don't mean to single you out. Gary Thomas talks in chapter 2 about identifying what he calls our Gethsemane. And he talks about Jesus on the night that he was betrayed, choosing the Garden of Gethsemane as his place to go, knowing what was coming, his place to go and spend that time of intimate fellowship with the Father before he was arrested and tried and executed. And the thing that he points out in that is that Scripture tells us this was Jesus' custom to go there. And so he puts that in the framework of what is our Gethsemane? Where is the place that we are drawn to? Maybe it's a physical place, but maybe it's just a kind of place in our spirit, a place in our heart. What is the pathway, to use the language of the book, that is drawing us close to God when we need to hear his voice, when we need to feel his presence, when we need him to encourage or empower us for what we need to do? Where is the place that we go to meet with him? And for some of us, we might not know the answer to that question right now. And that's perfectly fine, because as he writes in the book, the goal of the book is to help us discover that. And so the goal of our time together over the course of the next 8 weeks is to help us discover that. Some of you may already have a pretty good idea of how you connect best with God, what you're doing, when you've experienced him most, what really sets your heart on fire for him. Some of you may be like, well, sometimes I feel like it's kind of this, other times it's something else, I'm really not sure. And again, all of that is a perfectly valid place for us to be as we begin this, and even throughout the course of it. We don't anticipate that when it's all said and done, you're going to have everything figured out, but hopefully you have a clearer idea of at least ways to start connecting with him more personally and more intimately. So that's just kind of the setup. That's kind of where we're at in the frame of mind. We really want to spend the majority of our time jumping into what he identifies as these 9 spiritual temperaments, these ways that God has designed us to connect with him. And the design of that is really important, I think, because sometimes I feel like we can be in a place where we see other people that we might label as spiritual giants or whatever, people who we might admire their relationship with God, and feel honestly jealous. I mean, it doesn't sound spiritual to say that, but if we're honest, have you ever had a time where you've looked at someone and felt like, man, I'm jealous of where they are in their relationship with God? Yeah. And you know, we can look at how people do it. I think the kind of stereotypical thing we hear, especially if you've been in the church a lot, is, you know, spending your quiet time with God, which, for some reason, to most of us, equates to the idea of you take an hour out of your day, you go in your room, you close the door, you read so many chapters of Scripture, and you pray diligently, and that's how you grow spiritually, because, you know, that's what God wants of us.
Getting buzzed by ultralight.
Right. I noticed that.
Someone's out there connecting with God.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, does that sound familiar to you? I mean, have you heard this before? Have you? How many of us have tried that? Like, yeah, that's okay. And how many of you that really connects? It's like, yeah, I. Not quite as many hands, but some. Yeah. How many of you feel like when I try that, I either don't make it or I feel like I'm locked in a jail cell for that hour, just dying to get out. Yeah. And then do you feel guilty because it's like, oh, I'm supposed to be spiritual about it and I'm feeling bad about it. What if there's no right or wrong? That's kind of the approach here. Some people, that's their pathway. Other people, it's not. And we hope that you find grace and freedom in recognizing, if you've struggled with that before, that there's freedom in saying, you know what, it's okay for that not to be how I connect with God. And blessings on you as you do it, but that's not for me. Now, that's not to say that there's not value in exploring things that aren't our preferences as well. Because sometimes God meets us in great ways when we're stretched beyond our comfort zone. And so, although there's a lot that we want to take from this in understanding how we connect and utilizing that, there's also a lot that we can take from saying, you know, that's not my preference, but it's good for me to expose myself to that every once in a while, because otherwise we can put God in a box and say, oh, well, he'll only meet me this way. And a healthy view of who he is knows that that's not true. So, any thoughts at this point? Anything anyone is just dying to say or ask? Or...
Naturalist.
What's that?
That was a naturalist.
Yeah, I think that may have been a naturalist out there. Steve said that there are people out there connecting with God right now. We're actually going to be heading out there shortly ourselves, because tonight we are talking about naturalists, and naturalists love the outdoors, but more importantly than loving the outdoors, they love God outdoors, and that's something that's important about all of these pathways. Is that there's an intentionality behind it. As much as we can connect with God in these different ways, if we're not connecting with God in them, we're also missing the point. So for those of us who love being outdoors, that's great. But we can't stop at being outdoors just for the sake of being outdoors. Does that make sense? Okay. We're out there to look for God in it. But for those who are naturally inclined in the naturalist pathway, it is a lot of naturals. It just happens. You don't really have to think about it. So, whether you've read the book or not, when you hear that word naturalist, what comes to mind?
Beauty.
Creation. Bless you. Allergies.
Peace.
I was going to say body odor.
Okay.
I did it.
Okay, it's natural.
Yeah, it's commitment.
How many of you, just kind of anticipating, like, how many of you think that you might consider yourself a naturalist? Okay, probably a decent number of us. There's something about being in God's creation that really easily points us to him being the creator. If you were in service about, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I mean, Steve hit on this really, really clearly on a Sunday morning. And if you hadn't guessed, he's a strong naturalist. But, you know, Scripture talks about how Perth points us to God. We talk about, you know, hearing his voice through it, seeing him in it. It's just a place where when you're outdoors, when you're in something that he has made, you're reminded that he has made it. You're reminded of who he is. And there are characteristics of plants or animals or the sky or bodies of water or anything that can teach us something about who he is and can just give us that peace that was mentioned, because we don't have all of the other things that so often distract us. I think often our distractions probably come from more indoor, man-made type of things.
I disagree.
You disagree?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think our distractions come from in here. That's more distraction than you could be in a place of total chaos, and if your mind is still, then the rest of you will be still.
That's true. That's true. Yep. Yeah.
And the opposite's true. That's why it's typical for me to pray, because everything's going this way and that way.
And so we can reach, you know, some of us can find that place of stillness more when we're outdoors, and some of us don't need to. So yeah.
When do you think is a good time to head out, Steve?
Well, I'd say we've got another 5 minutes before it's a good time to head
out. Okay. So Steve, go ahead. You've shared from up front on Sunday morning a bit of, you know, your perspective on this. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how it plays out for you, just in your own personal walk, not in a ministry setting, but in...
Right. I think that the naturalist portion of this, as I've read the book, was for me the most easily self-identified. I read the chapter titles and went, oh yeah, naturalist, easy. Then as I went through the book, I came to realize that my naturalist score was not necessarily the highest score, but it was quite very high. And there's having read the book, there's things that I'm learning about what it's like to be a naturalist. I'll start with the anti-naturalist story, okay? Jeff Shelton and I went fishing several weeks ago, just after reading this first portion of the book. And we talked about the book on the way up to where we were fishing, and after a while I was standing in the river and I said, Jeff, I don't think I'm a naturalist, because I'm not thinking about God, I'm just thinking about catching fish, you know? And I didn't catch any that day. I guess I should have thought about God more. But this is where it really, I'm going to redefine naturalist or put a subcategory on it. I am, I think, an agricultural naturalist. And this is what I'll tell you. I cannot go out and weed the garden or the flower beds without thinking about sin. I can't. First of all, I don't like doing it. So I get down on my knees and I'm pulling weeds. And I think, why do we have weeds? Oh, we have weeds because the earth is under a curse because our first parents sinned. And we shouldn't have weeds. And then I pull more weeds and I think about weeds as an emblem of sin. I think about my own sin. I think about the plan of redemption. every time I go to the garden, this is what goes through my head every single time. And as I'm pulling weeds, it always turns into a time of confession for me. And I'm not kidding when I say every time. Every time. So if you see a lot of weeds in my garden, you'll know I had to confess. I spent a lot of time, probably most of my time, from the time that I was able to actually work and be useful until I was through college, spent most of my time on my grandparents' farm. Pulled a lot of weeds there, too. And spent a lot of time on the tractor. And running all the machines and harvesting and all of those things. I cannot drive by a field. I cannot do it without thinking about Jesus saying, unless the seed falls and dies, the harvest doesn't happen. And when the harvest happens, it happens 40 and 50 and 100 times, 100-fold from what was put in there. And so I'm not kidding. Every time I drive by a field, I'm thinking about kingdom multiplication. And I was picking raspberries yesterday with Julie. And we have some raspberries at our place that get a little less water, and the berries aren't as nice. They crumble when you take them off the vine. And I was thinking about what we could do to fix that. Could we fertilize the soil? Could we water them more? Could we this or that? Should we just mow them all down? And this is what came to my mind. Paul's passage. That one plants, another waters, but God makes them grow. And while we were picking raspberries, I was just stunned by that thought again that we as backyard raspberry growers, or Bill who's grown this beautiful stand of corn this year, Bill can do anything he wants in that field. He can jump up and down. He can put fertilizer down and whatever else, but Bill cannot do a single thing to make that corn grow. Not a single thing. Because God makes it grow. Let's go outside.
Okay.
Once we get out there, let's come around on this side of the building.
Julie's here to bounce stuff off. If you want to ask her some questions, just okay. Rolling.
I think we're going to start to see what that was like for Deacon.
After that, I'm not a naturalist. Too many mosquitoes out. I'm changing.
I'm changing my score.
That's right.
Because I don't want to be that.
Uh-uh. I'm only a naturalist. Mosquito-free area.
Is bug spray part of the
naturalist? Yeah. Bear Grylls.
Probably not until after this
run. Okay.
I think Matt, in all honesty, though, I mean, that's a good point, because there are things out there that can be distracting to us. Mm-hmm. And so for people who aren't as inclined towards a naturalist pathway, the things like, you know, the bugs and other stuff keep us from that experience of God. And so it's not as natural of a connecting point. So, we were just outside. We just watched the sunset. What went through your heads? What did you experience in that? Was anyone genuinely like spiritually moved by that?
It's natural the water.
What's that?
Sunset is nicer over the water.
Yeah, yeah. Water tends to reflect the sunset a little bit better than corn. Yeah.
I was trying to figure out how can you think of weeds and sand and all of that. Every time I'm outdoors, I feel really peaceful. And I'd go out and do yard work, and everybody's like, how can you like to do yard work? How could you actually like to pull weeds? That's the only time I don't think about my problems, my bills, anything. I just feel really peaceful. It's therapeutic for me. So I was like, okay, this is so nice.
So I apologize for what's going to happen to you next time you have to do it.
I'm a naturalist too, but I don't think about that when I play these.
And I think that's a good point, because even if, you know, 10 people are high on the naturalist pathway, they're still all 10 going to be different. You know, it's not that if you're a naturalist, then this is specifically what you think about or how you connect to God while you're outdoors. But there's something about being outdoors. There's something about God's creation that helps you connect with Him. And it's still, I mean, it's still about personal relationship. So, you know, you could have a room full of naturalists. Well, you probably wouldn't have a room full of naturalists. You'd probably have a yard full of naturalists. Who would still all experience God in very different ways, because they're still very different people. So we don't want to try to pigeonhole our understanding of these pathways, but recognize that this is an avenue by which we, those of us who are strong in this area, can draw closer to God.
A couple things. I think too, like, after reading about the pathways, when you see like what your top, like your list, how you are geared according to your list would affect how you handle different strengths. Because if you, you know, when you're out there, if you are heavy in another pathway, that can affect the way you look at the naturalist pathway. Whereas if someone else has a different pathway that's up there with naturalists, they would look at it a different way. And see, for me, in the naturalist, I get like mini sermons when I go outside. Like, God just speaks something very simple and profound that, like, standing out there staring at the sunset and having like the cornfield in the way and the, you know, the like slope of the ground, like right away it just was communicated that there are so many distractions in this world that keep us from focusing on Him, and that we have to try to be intentional in how we watch Him and view the light and view the sun. And then, like, as I was staring more, seeing, like, the silhouettes of the trees, seeing that when God is behind things, the details don't matter. So all you have to focus on is the light. You don't have to focus on, you know, everything surrounding it, because those details really don't matter. He'll work those out. You know, so like when I'm out in nature, that's how I connect with it, is that whenever I see something, like some profound little thought or idea comes to mind that's pertinent to what I'm going through at the time.
Hey, Carolyn.
First of all, I feel like, you know, am I a naturalist? I don't even like the label. But I wouldn't call myself a naturalist. I just feel like there are a bunch of different of these things that I, pardon my grammar, that I connect, that work for me. I wouldn't call myself. I don't even like the outdoors, really. I go out for a purpose. And sometimes I go out to go for a walk, and when I am outdoors, I usually, God almost always speaks to me when I am outdoors. But I also feel like I see everything that God makes as perfect. I don't see the corn blocking the sunset. I see it as like God's perfect plan. I don't know, I just sort of see nature as, I don't see weeds as part of the curse. I don't see mosquitoes as part of the curse. I see them all as serving a purpose. Maybe weeds are part of the curse. I could be totally wrong on my theology, but I just feel like they feed something. You know, there's animals, they do serve a purpose. I mean, they make Steve confess every day. But, I hate plants. But I don't know. I feel like I mean I haven't read it yet. I did go on Saturday, but I don't know. I feel like God speaks to me in lots of different venues or mm-hmm. whatever. But I don't know. I just see when I complain about the heat. I just think. But I feel like it's still part of something that's bigger than me and better than me and better than anything I can create. I mean, the sun, okay, it's hot, but gee whiz, without it, we wouldn't have flowers, you know, and everything he creates, is, even a mosquito or a weed, is so, just shows his creativity and his variety and his supremacy, and just, you know, I just see God in all creation, I guess.
Yeah. So without using it as a label, I think I would label you a naturalist. But yeah, No, I'm kidding. But that's a good point.
But calling me unnaturalist makes me feel like I didn't raise my hand because it's like I wouldn't call myself
right.
a naturalist. Because there are other ways in which I feel like I connect better.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
equally.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that isn't the point of this. Recognizing where we fall on these lists, if you go through, each chapter has a little inventory you can do. Those questions aren't perfect. We've discovered that as a leadership team, those of us who've been working through this in advance. There are some things about those questions that trip us up because of how they're worded or how their sentences are paired or whatever. But the idea isn't to label you, isn't to say, oh, well, you're one of those people. It's to help us find the different ways we connect. And none of us is going to be exclusively one pathway. In fact, I think all of us are going to have some aspect of each of the pathways that resonate with us. Some are just going to be more than others. Some might be more at different times than others. So yeah, it's definitely not about labeling and pigeonholing and.
And I don't mean just. I mean.
No, I know.
I guess I just want everybody to feel like we can all share, even though this isn't really maybe the whatever thing isn't the best way I connect with God. I guess I want to feel comfortable. I want everybody to feel comfortable saying, well, this is what I get out of it.
Absolutely.
Or I don't get anything.
Absolutely. Yeah. Tanya, you were going to say something.
I know the way I connect with God, like outdoors, like tomorrow, I have to mow my lawn. I do not enjoy it. Straight lines, that's right. No, but the way I connect with God, when I go outdoors and I start, and I'm dreading it, well, as I get started, what brings me to God is I start saying, I hate doing this, but you know what? Thank you, God, for allowing me to have this yard to mow. Thank you, God, for allowing me to have the help and the strength to come out here and do it.
Right.
Then I find myself start thanking God, thanking Him for everything that I have, and that kind of pulls me through, and I kind of change my attitude. And then when I'm done and I set back, I say, this is absolutely beautiful. Thank you, God.
I drive across it with my boat.
Yes. Then it ruins my lines. And I'm, no. No, but that's the way I connect when I'm outside doing yard work.
Terry.
I'm curious on an element for each of these, not just limited to naturalists, but the word is my in my mind is intentionality. If I go, if I sign up for a retreat that I know is going to be naturally inclined, you know, to be outside, to be in the woods and things, I know that I'm going to connect well with God. I know that because I'm signing up to spend time with Him intentionally. And to go out there and intentionally look at the sunset, I know that I would hear a message from God. And we all probably did, because intentionally we went out there for a purpose. So there's 45 different mini messages out there similar to what Dory had. And they're all going to be unique and different because God's speaking to your heart with whatever is weighing on your mind. So I know with intentionality, I could probably be any of the nine on any given day. But on most days, like I walk outside on a beautiful night like this, and I recognize how tall the grass is, and that it was obviously tall the last time it was mowed because there's a lot of dead grass out there. And then I kept thinking, do they know they're standing on pee? Like that's our septic. Like my mind was so robbed with the ability to enjoy it because I just was thinking of all the other things that I got to do. I'm a Martha, you know what I mean? Like I got to do. And I'm not a Mary that can go out there and say, wow, that was beautiful. Like Mark did in the skin on Sunday morning when he talked about the sunset, you know? So I guess I say all that to say, what role does intentionality play? Because, like, Steve can go out and fish, but unintentionally miss moments with God because he loves to fish. So someone who loves nature, won't that person have to also, and I don't necessarily consider myself an naturalist at all, so wouldn't anybody with any strength have to intentionally connect that to God, or else it just becomes a worship of the nature itself instead of the actual connection to God? I'm curious what our insight is on that.
Yeah. I'm not moderating.
So I'm really, really strong in the naturalist pathway. And it's just really interesting to listen to all of the different aspects. I don't think about sin when I weep, but I don't even know that necessarily, and I love being outdoors, except in the wintertime, and then I like to enjoy the outdoors from my living room looking out the window, but it's not as a naturalist that I'm always worshiping God in the sense that we worship on Sunday, but when I see, you know, like last night we were driving home and the sky was beautiful. It was, the sun had already gone down and it was the dark blue to the lighter blue to almost gray and then peach and then into the orange. And it was just gorgeous. And like that just moves me. I know that sounds really cheesy, but it just moves me. If I'm up north and there's a gazillion stars in the sky, it moves me. And I think where the Psalms talk about the heavens declare the glory of God. Am I worshiping? I don't know. But is God just screaming at me through that? Yes. When it's autumn and the colors on the trees, and, you know, I live on Carpenter Road and there's all those trees behind the junior high, and I love to watch how they're going to change. And every year they look different. And it's like, wow, God did that. You know, how cool is it that God made our trees, so that when the nighttime temperatures start to drop to a certain, you know, temperature, the trees start to do this, and every year it looks different, and it's beautiful. So, am I worshiping? You know what? It draws me to God. I hear God. I see God. When I'm at the ocean, wow. You know, am I worshiping? Yes. I guess. But not in the sense that we worship when we're here on Sunday. But I can tell you that as a naturalist, spending time outdoors, spending time, like, by myself, where it's beautiful, and the sky, and the trees, and the water, it feeds my soul. And I think that is a lot of what the pathway is designed. That's why we're identifying. That feeds my soul. I can tell you, because I read the book, and I've taken all the tests at the end of the chapters, there's some of them, they don't feed my soul. You know what I'm saying? But they might feed your soul. So, as a naturalist, that's how it works in my life. You know, sometimes I am just absolutely in awe of worshiping God. But it's feeding my soul. So I guess that's...
I guess my question, though, is there something else required to make that intentional, or else it becomes... just being in awe of the stars or the leaves. That's part
but
of
it. But I think as a naturalist, that happens naturally. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to make it intentional. Sometimes it goes further than just a feeling of awe or a feeling of just being moved. You know, sometimes I do think about passages of scripture, or I do think about, you know, spiritual analogies or whatever, but I don't have to... I think that's why it's one of my pathways. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to make it happen or manipulate it. It happens.
And I think my fear is that, and I'm sorry to keep belaboring the point, I'm not trying to monopolize it, but I guess my fear is that there are millions and billions of people who are moved by the stars and moved by the trees who are so far from God. And I think as a naturalist, one thing that it could be as an angle for us, if we intentionally used it, as a great evangelical arm of communication to people who are far from God. Because it is, according to Scripture, the way God screams, "Here I am," right? And science has tried to rob so much of that. But I guess I'm just being further away from that, curious, knowing that I can find God outside, and I can, as long as I'm intentionally bringing my scripture with me, or called to journal, or called to something else, then that's when it moves me, not just walking outside. So that, again, just to clarify my points, I love naturalists, by the way.
I think what I'm hearing in part of your question too, Terry, and I don't know if this is maybe where you're coming from, but what it reminds me of, in part, is for those of you who've started reading the book, you'll notice in this chapter, and he does this in each of the chapters where he talks about the pathways, each pathway has its own dangers. And one of the dangers for the naturalist is getting so caught up in nature that you kind of either look past God or don't look far enough to God. And that's definitely a valid point. There are a lot of people in the world who are not Christian, not spiritual at all, and they can admire nature, but they don't see the God of the Bible in nature. They see something else. They might see some other religion or some other spirituality in nature, and that's something, looking at this from a Christian biblical framework, we need to recognize there is a difference there. And part of that intentionality, I think, is coming to recognize what we learn about God based on what Scripture tells us, based on our continued communication with Him through prayer. When we talked about this in staff meeting, one of the things that was mentioned was just sitting outside and watching the sunset, for example, is not a substitute for meaningful time with God in terms of, oh, well, you know, I happen to look out my window at the right time and I saw the beautiful sunset, so I don't need to worry about reading my Bible, or I don't, you know. But the two go hand in hand. Our understanding goes hand in hand. And so that's not to say I enjoyed the sunset, but I still need to read my Bible, so I need to go close myself in my room for an hour and, you know, all those things that we said earlier. But it's how does our scriptural understanding of who God is, how does our scriptural understanding of what creation is feed our own relationship with Him? Does that make sense?
I don't feel like, I mean, I kind of feel like my relationship with God is what makes me appreciate nature, not the other way around. I don't think I would care about nature, except once in a while go, oh my gosh, the clouds are pretty, the sun is pretty, blah, blah, blah. But as far as having a soul-feeding experience or feeling like God's speaking to me, that I think that's because I am a Christian, because I have a relationship with God. I think God uses different avenues. It's not us using. Yes, it's us finding a pathway that works for us, but I really wonder if maybe it's us finding a pathway where God can find us instead of us finding God. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think that's the component.
Because I feel like God uses nature, but really I think I appreciate nature, because if I'm outside being quiet, going for a walk, then I think God speaks to me because I'm quiet. And He just happens to show me nature because I'm outside.
Right.
You know, but anyway, I just feel like it's a two-way path. But,
yes. Yeah.
But I think it's because I have a relationship that He speaks to me through various things.
Kind of back to what Julie said, I kind of relate to being a naturalist. And as being a naturalist, it's when you're outside and you see the sunset, it's not like you have to be intentional. It's like God, it's like you naturally go to God. I mean, it's like God, you know, it's not like you have to think about it, or it's not like you're just admiring the sunset. It's like God is speaking to you. And so then when you do your quiet times, and when you want to study, or when I want to study, it's important for me to surround myself with the natural light, with being able to see beauty, with being able to see His creation. It's, you know, I don't want to be in a little room without light, without being able to see His creation. And so it's, for the naturalist, it's, you don't have to be intentional at all. It just screams at you.
Again, I'm a naturalist. I'm an antisocial naturalist. I would like to go out by myself into the woods or along the waters. But I think in my life, when I read scripture, that feeds my soul. When I'm in nature, that calms my soul or restores my soul. I mean, there's a difference there. And I don't know how to exactly put verbiage to that. But I so see God. So, and I tell Joni, like, I've been blessed with the opportunity to have a place up north. And I get up early in the morning and I go out and I'll sit and look at the water and the sunrise. And there's an old song, Christian song, how's it go, about the morning gilds the sky, my heart awaking cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. I always sing it wrong because Joni, it affects her and makes her mad. But I do that intentionally. But that's how I feel. It's just like, and I tell her, I go, I so wish that the whole world would have the opportunity to come here and sit and understand what the peace of God is. Mm-hmm. And our world would be such a better place for it. But, you know, so many people are in turmoil and war-torn things, and it's just like, I wish they could get the experience what I experienced. Mm-hmm. And so I do see God in that. And I do rejoice constantly, and you can tell, ask Joni, I do, and I think it annoys her after a while, because I don't know that she's a naturalist like I am. She's a shopalist. Is there one of those?
We're all talking about being naturalists. I think I'm a part-time naturalist, because in the winter, I hate winter. I absolutely hate it. I hate the cold. I hate snow. The only time I like to go outside in the winter, and I'm just weird like this, I like shoveling snow.
Wow.
I think, like Steve thinks we are a bad thing, I think winter is a bad thing. To me, it's just horrible. And probably the time I go out and confess my sins, I'm like, oh, I hate the snow. It's horrible for me, but I, for some reason, I love to shovel the snow. Although I think winter is very beautiful when we see the snow, but I absolutely hate winter. I don't like going outside except with the shovel. I don't like driving in it. It just, it's horrible.
I agree with her.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Except for the shoveling. I like watching my husband shovel.
Nate, you were going to mention something, I think.
I think that... I don't know, for like going back to having intentionality to find God or having it just to being so much a part of yourself if you're strong in a certain area or whatever. I feel like the key for all of it is the awakening of the Holy Spirit that wakes a soul up to what's in front of us the whole time, you know? And the mystery behind why one person can admire the stars and galaxies and know it so much better than me and not see God, and how another person is awed and sees God, and that is it's a mystery that the Holy Spirit only he can answer. Another thing that came to my mind too about this is I really feel like the pathways to me are like food groups. And like I wouldn't just if all I had to eat was oatmeal all day long every day, it would just, I don't know what life would look like, you know. But like but thankfully, like, I had oatmeal this morning, and then, you know, for lunch I had some chicken, so I had some protein going on, and some sour cream, so I got my dairy going on, and some salsa, got some spice going on. You know, and then dinner rolls around. I'm having, well, I had some barley again, but the point is different things represent different things that we need at different times. So, like, watching, taking in a sunset could do the same thing for me that sitting down and meditating on Psalm 109. It just depends on what I'm needing at that time. Now, that there, what I'm saying is full of holes. But this is an aspect of it.
Sure, absolutely. And I think, you know, all of this is not a science. I mean, I've said this several times, but we're not here to label and you know, stick everyone in categories. We're here to, I think, engage in that conversation of recognizing that there are a variety of ways in which God meets with us, in which he calls us to meet with him, and maybe we find that we are predominantly drawn to one or two of these pathways, that just, that's where our walk with him happens. Maybe we find that, you know, that very thing. Today, it's the outdoors. Tomorrow, it's caring for someone in need. You know, and that's all, I guess I want to say that's all valid, because we're all different people, and it's about our relationship with him. Our relationship with him through Christ. I mean, Jesus remains at the center of it. We don't want to take this down another, you know, another path where it becomes some other religious idea. We have to be very careful of that. But keeping Christ at the center and God's revealed plan of redemption, he does not limit the ways that we can experience him. And that's what I'm hoping that we become awakened to through this process. So, Steve, can you land the plane for us tonight?
I will land the plane by saying God is good. And a friend of mine was with a man whose name is Wendell Berry today. And Wendell Berry, I don't know if he's a naturalist or not, but but my friend posted this quote from Wendell Berry. Outdoors, we are confronted everywhere with wonders, and we see that the miraculous is the common mode of existence. I'll read it again. Outdoors, we are confronted everywhere with wonders, and we see that the miraculous is the common mode of existence. God, we thank you today for the way that you have revealed yourself in nature, the way that you have surrounded us with miracles, from little kids that we hear playing next door, to a sunset, to grass that grows on its own. God, you have surrounded us with the miraculous. And we see you there, and we recognize you there. And tonight, Lord, we praise you for the greatest miracle of all, that your Son, Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, became our Savior. And Lord, it is in that miracle that you surround us with your love, that we say thank you. And I ask, Lord, that as we go, we would see you and that you would deepen yourself into our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.
Next week, we're going to be looking at the sensate pathway. So if you could read that chapter in advance, that would be helpful to our conversation. If you don't have a book yet, or you have a book and haven't paid me yet, let me know. And if you can't pay tonight but you still need a book, go ahead and take one, because I don't want you to fall behind in our conversation and the things we're looking at. So any questions about any of that, feel free to ask. And
yeah,
that's it. Thanks. You're welcome to hang around and chat. You're welcome to go.
Hi, Danette.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good.